Here's something you may not know. Whales have culture. They may not gather around a dinner table every Thanksgiving, but they do have distinctive lifestyles that they've adopted to survive. And that culture is revealed in a new documentary series by National Geographic called Secrets of the Whales. Filmmaker and underwater explorer James Cameron is executive producer.
These sperm whales can emit 230 decibel sound pulse. I mean, that would blow our eardrums in if we were adjacent to them when they fire that thing off.
The documentary explores the complex ways that five different types of whales communicate and socialize. World-renowned underwater photographer Brian Scarry spent 3 years diving in oceans around the world, capturing these majestic creatures for the film. I last spoke to him 4 years ago about his book of shark photography, and he joins me now again. Brian Scarry, welcome back.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be back.
So this theme, this idea that whales have culture, what does that mean to you exactly? What did you learn about that in doing this?
Right. Well, the notion of culture, I think, is something new in terms of looking at the animal kingdom. And there was one scientist who's become a good friend. His name is Dr. Shane Garrow. And Shane describes the difference between behavior and culture like this. He says, behavior is what we do. Culture is how we do it. So he says, for example, most humans eat food with utensils. That is behavior. But whether you use chopsticks or knives and forks, that is your culture. So within a genetically identical species, let's say orca, they are doing things vastly different in different parts of the world. So they have a preference for international cuisine, their ethnic foods. The orca that live in New Zealand like to eat stingrays, and they have mastered a technique for swimming into very shallow water in mangroves and harbors and grabbing a stingray, turning it upside down, sort of immobilizing it with tonic immobility, putting it to sleep, and then predating on it. And they are the only orca in the world that do that technique. The orca that live in Patagonia, they have a taste for sea lion pups, and they have figured out how to master a technique. The sperm whales that Shane is studying in the Caribbean, he's identified over 24 families that all speak the same dialect or the same language, for lack of a better word, and they don't intermingle with other sperm whales that might move into those waters. So when a sperm whale meets another sperm whale out in those Caribbean waters, the first thing they say is, I am from Dominica. And if the other whale says, I am from Haiti or someplace, they just kind of go their own way. So when I first heard that, I imagined the neighborhoods of New York at the turn of the last century, where you had the Irish and the Italians and all these neighborhoods based on language. So
do you think it is a language? I mean, can we call it that?
Well, I think researchers tend to refrain from using the word language only because I think there's an association with human, but they do use the word dialect. But from my very layman's perspective, yeah, I think they are speaking a language. And this may be a little bit more defined, but there may be some overlap. And, you know, for us, I think the word language works.
Well, this is radio, so let's listen to some of that language that we're talking about here. These are orcas in a recording we got from Disney Nature Soundscapes. We don't know exactly what those whales were saying to each other, but in some ways I think you already have communicated with animals like these because there was that scene in the episode about orcas hunting those stingrays that you mentioned. Right before this animal was going to swallow it down, here you come, it sees you, and does something amazing. It offers you the stingray, or at least it appears to. Tell me about that experience.
Well, that was extraordinary. As you described, here comes this adult female with a stingray hanging out of her mouth. So my mind is exploding. I can't believe I'm seeing this. And I'm thinking, don't mess it up, you know, get the shot. And then as she approached, she drops it. I swim down and kneel next to it, and the whale is gone. And I'm thinking, I missed it. Sure enough, she swims behind me, comes around to the left side of my vision, and then the ray is between us on the ocean floor. And the whale is looking at me, looking at the ray, looking at me, looking at the ray, as if to say, are you going to eat that? And when I don't, she very gently bends over, picks it up, and turns, and then another orca comes in, a member of her family, and they begin to food share. I remember talking with James Cameron about this after, who was the executive producer, and he said, well, you know, Brian, a lot of cultures, of course, share food. That's an offering. So I felt guilty after that I didn't eat the ray.
I remember asking you a few years ago what it was like to swim so close to sharks in the ocean, right? I mean, you were getting close up to some of the most ferocious sharks in the sea. You're taking it to a new level with the whales, and you just proved that with the story about the orca, I think. How did the experiences compare?
Boy, that's a great question. It's hard to pick a favorite, but you reach a rarefied plane when you're in the presence of these highly cognitive, sentient animals like whales. They are operating at a very different level. It is like being in the presence of an alien intelligence that, you know, is a little bit different than other animals. Sharks are fish, and not to say that they don't have great personalities and charm as well, but I think it's different with these big-brained, air-breathing mammals that are similar to us in a lot of ways. And they could easily, you know, with a flick of their tail, swim away. But when they do let you in and you get those special moments, it transcends any other experience for me in the ocean.
Did you fear them?
I didn't fear them, no. I think my sort of MO when I'm in the presence of whales is to be very vigilant. But that being said, they tend to be extremely aware. They will often purposely lift a pectoral if they're swimming past me or move a tail so that they don't bump me. I've never felt danger in any way like that.
Well, the series does touch on the threat of ocean pollution and how dangerous it is for animals. There were moments when you or members of the team would intervene. I want to play this clip. It's when your friend and researcher Shane Garrow cuts debris from an entangled sea turtle before releasing it back into the water.
Okay. That's the third one that I've cut out.
Yep.
And if you're saying you've seen the same, I mean, we spend a lot of time on the water, but that's still way too many.
One of the divers actually does the same at one point for an orca, a killer whale. I just wonder how you think, you know, how dangerous that experience was for you and for your team to intervene, especially with the whales, and how you made the decision to do it.
Every one of those situations has to be evaluated, you know, independently, at least with the sea turtles. These are animals that are, you know, out there in the open ocean. They're completely entangled in plastic or plastic fishing nets. We saw one in Sri Lanka that was towing a laundry basket. We saw a lot of that. So you can't help but want to intervene. That being said, you know, I've been in situations in my life where I've seen animals caught in fishermen's nets, and I don't intervene. I don't want to impact somebody's livelihood unless I'm working with them and they give me the okay to do that, and I've done that as well. With the orca, I wasn't there on that particular day, but I know the cameramen quite well, of course, and I think they made the right call. This was a vertical line with a buoy at the top, and it had one wrap around the male orca's pectoral fin. So the cameraman made the decision to just cut that one line. It wasn't going to impact the fisherman's livelihood. He wasn't going to lose his traps or anything. Mm. It was the right thing to do, in my opinion. Again, everyone has to be evaluated independently.
We report so often, we hear so much about the debris and the plastic in the ocean. You are on the water so often, and you see it firsthand. How would you describe how bad the problem is?
Well, it's very bad. You know, I started diving in Massachusetts in 1977, and I don't remember almost ever seeing plastic back in the day. But these days, almost every dive that I make, I see plastic and trash and debris. It's an anomaly if I don't see it. And, you know, it's a huge problem. That stuff just doesn't go away. And it not only entangles so many animals, but it destroys habitats. And the plastic problem is a huge one that I think is solvable, but it's one of many.
National Geographic photographer Brian Skerry, the latest project is Secrets of the Whales. You can stream it now on Disney Plus, and we also have photos of some of those whales at hereandnow.org. Brian, always a pleasure. So interesting. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.